Good afternoon and welcome to Indie Business Radio, where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. You don't have to adjust your volume or clean out your ears. It's really not Donna Maria's voice you're hearing today. It's me, Jamila White, the e-commerce diva, and I'm sitting in for Donna Maria, who is off today to tape a segment with award-winning journalist Michelle Martin on National Public Radio. Today's sponsor is Essential Wholesale, the world's largest supplier of natural and organic cosmetics bases. At Essential Wholesale, we can make your product line so you can free up your time to sell it. Learn more at www.essentialwholesale.com. Today we're going to be talking about podcasting for profits, and it is no secret that the world is a much smaller place than it was just a few years ago. Part of the reason for that is due to the amount of user-generated content that's available on the Internet today. Internet radio shows like this one, along with blogs, videos, online newsletters and magazines, everything like that, they're all becoming a part of the fabric of our lives. And one of the most popular forms of this user-generated content is the podcast. According to an April 9, 2008 study released by Arbitron and Edison Research, an estimated 3 million people listened to a podcast in the past month. That's the last 30 days. Now, you can find a podcast on any topic these days, and more people are launching them not just for fun, but as a way to create brand awareness and enhance sales of the products and services that they are selling. With so much going on in the world of podcasting today, it's easy to become overwhelmed. There's so much information about technology and topics and all of that good stuff. And that's where an expert like today's guest comes in. Lisa Barnes is a podcasting expert and author of Podcasting for Profit, a step-by-step manual to help you plan, launch, and maintain your own podcast. Lisa helps businesses make selling more fun and enjoyable by using podcasts. Lisa, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Thanks, Jamila. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. If you have a question or comment for Lisa, please do join us by calling 1-800-773-0355. That's 1-800-773-0355. Now, Lisa is president of Caprica. Is I'm saying that right? Caprica?
It's
Interactive
Caprica.
Caprica. Okay, Caprica Interactive Marketing. And she's helped hundreds of individuals and businesses worldwide make money podcasting by using her simple seven-step process. She's been featured in all kinds of national and international media, and she is recognized as the expert in podcasting and online media. Lisa's website is www.lisabarnes.com, and that's L-E-E-S-A, Barnes, B-A-R-N-E-S.com. Lisa, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got into podcasting.
Well, it's a long story, but since I've told it so many times, it's now quite short. I was working as a software project manager, and in 2004 was laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I twiddled my thumbs wondering what I was going to do, because at that point I said, you know, forget technology. I never want to have anything to do with it ever again, because by that point I had been burnt out. So I went into coaching, business coaching, coaching women on their careers, and it became coaching business people on starting their own businesses. And within a year, I changed my focus so many times as a coach.
Okay.
And, of course, my income reflected my scattered brain. I was in debt. My business wasn't growing. And so in 2005, I decided to try podcasting as a way to market my coaching business. And as I started podcasting, people started asking me questions about podcasting. How do I do it? How do I create one for myself? And so my entrepreneurial hat mind went off. And I said to myself, you know, why not teach people how to podcast?
Right.
Because it combines my two passions, one which is speaking, the other one which is technology. So by then I said, hey, if I can define technology on my own terms, then I will get involved in technology once again. And since March 2006, I've been known as a podcasting expert, teaching others how to use podcasting to make money.
That's really interesting, that your story, because my own story is very similar, where I ended up, I was starting an e-commerce business, and within a year, so many people were asking me, how did you do that? And they had so many questions, and I kept giving everybody the same answers over and over again, that I just decided to help other people do it. So it's really interesting that there's that parallel between us. But what, for those of us who are brand new to podcasting or have never heard the phrase before or have heard it but aren't that familiar with it, what exactly is podcasting?
Podcasting is similar to radio and television. It's a show that you put together and you go out and find an audience for that show. But what makes podcasting so unique from just posting an audio or video file on the internet is that it relies on the power of syndication. Now, usually at this point, people hear syndication, they hear internet, and their eyes start to glaze over. So I love to explain podcasting using the example of two talk show divas. One is Marilyn Dennis. The other one is Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm. And all know Oprah.
We all know Oprah. We all know Oprah. But unless you're sitting here in Toronto, Canada, where I'm at, you wouldn't know who Marilyn Dennis is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between a talk show diva who is syndicated and one who isn't.
Okay.
Oprah's show is seen in 127 markets across the globe. And you can find that stat at oprah.com. And each person, no matter what market they're in, will see the same show on that particular day. So someone in Malaysia and someone in London, England, and someone in Los Angeles will all see that same episode on addictions or on spirituality. And the reason being is because Oprah relies on the power of syndication to syndicate that one-hour show on dozens and dozens and hundreds of different television sets around the globe. Marilyn Dennis, on the other hand, unless you're in Toronto, you wouldn't see her. And because I do a lot of traveling, Jamila, I go to a lot of places around the world for speaking opportunities. And no matter where I go in the globe, I see Oprah. Unfortunately, I don't see Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
And so TV is just one example of syndicated content. There's other examples as well in newspapers and magazines. Dear Abby is a popular column that was syndicated.
Right. Okay.
It appeared in the LA Times. It appeared in the Washington Post. It appeared in other different newspapers around the world. And it was the same content each time you picked up that newspaper. Let's see. Radio programs are syndicated as well. So the power of syndication has existed in old media, traditional media, which is TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, for decades. And now that power of syndication is available over the internet. And what are people syndicating? They're syndicating text through blogs, and they're syndicating audio and video content using the podcasting.
Okay. So how is podcasting different from a blog? If they're both syndication and a blog can have video or audio in it, how does podcasting differ from a blog?
It does in one unique way. Well, podcasting does rely on blog software in order to be published.
Okay.
But just publishing it on your blog is the first step. And what you need to do is find podcast directories to submit your podcasting content. Now, these directories act a lot like Google. So, Jamila, if you're searching for information, you would go to Google to find it.
Okay.
You plug in some keywords, and then it spits back its results. Well, there are podcasting directories out there that act a lot like Google, but the only thing they list is podcasts.
Okay.
And so that's what really gives podcasting its legs, not only the syndication, but your ability to share that content through these different directories.
Okay. Now, I know that there are folks listening right now, and they heard it's on the internet, they heard the word syndication, they heard Google, they heard audio, they heard video, and somebody just said, oh, my gosh, I am not techie, I'm not a web developer, I'm not an accomplished professional radio host or any of those things. Can anybody make a podcast?
The answer is yes. Anyone can do it. And there are different tools that you can use, and I know we'll get into that later. But the issue here is that you can either, if you have a microphone, you can record. If you have a video camera, you can record. And really, there's two ways that you can do this. You can either learn all the components yourself, and there's a lot of do-it-yourselfers out there who want to learn how to do this and learn all the intricate details. So that's one way. A different angle is to hire people who are smarter than you in those type of areas to do it on your behalf. So, for example, me, when I started out, I did all the components on my own. I created the concept for each episode. I recorded the content. I edited it. I threw it out there. I posted it and published it on my blog, and then did all the marketing. And then finally, after doing it for a while, I said, you know what, there's certain things along this process that I'm really good at, and there's other things which I would really like to outsource.
Right.
So I can come up with a concept, I can record the content, and then now I just send my audio file to someone else to do the editing, to do the publishing on my blog, and then it's up to me to do the marketing, because those are the two things I'm good at. I'm good at marketing, and I'm good at creating.
Right, so you're focusing on your strengths, which are creating the content and talking about what you know about and outsourcing most of the rest. Now, before we get into our discussion a little bit later on what kind of equipment you need or how to go about outsourcing your podcast, let's back up a little bit, because there's someone thinking, okay, that sounds great, and I maybe could see myself doing a podcast, but what about the business side of it? You know, how does someone actually make money from it, or how do they use a podcast to grow their business, especially if they sell products, like tangible products and not information? There's a lot of people listening who might be selling health or beauty products or handmade jewelry or greeting cards or things like that. How would a podcast benefit those kinds of businesses?
Well, this is where I get excited. I mean, the creating of a podcast, that's, you know, there's other people out there that can teach you how to do that. And I have, because I've done it, I can also tell you what you need. But where it gets really exciting is the strategy behind it, why you should be using podcasting in your business. And whether you have a service or you want to promote a product, a podcast can help you in both areas. So one of the things that I know a lot of people do is they interview experts. They compile. Some of you might be wondering, where am I going to get this content from? And one of the easiest ways to generate podcasting content is to interview other experts. Sort of what's being done on the Indie Business Show right now.
Right, right.
And then what you do is you upsell your audience to that expert's book or product. And so at the end, you just tell people, hey, my expert has a book. Please go here and you can buy it. And if you sign up as an affiliate for that particular person's affiliate program, then you can get a commission back on that sale.
Okay, so for example, if you sold skincare products for busy women in their 30s and 40s, if you were to do a podcast, who would you interview for, what kind of people would you interview for, to get your podcast content?
You would interview customers of the different beauty products. Perhaps someone has seen a reduction in their lines, crow lines along the eyes.
Okay, so like happy customers?
Yeah, happy customers can be interviewed. You can interview even the manufacturer of the product or the distributor of the product to find out what new and interesting things are coming down the pipe.
Okay.
So there's quite a number of different things you can do.
What about, could you interview like a dermatologist or some other kind of skincare expert?
Oh, absolutely, and those are some interesting ways to do it as well. You can interview experts, people who, for example, here in North America, for many parts of North America, we're coming into summer. And so you can interview a dermatologist and ask about skincare, how to protect your skin from the sun, and then at the end promote a beauty product that can help people protect themselves from the sun.
Okay, so in other words, if you're a business owner, chances are the topics you would use for podcasts are things that you're probably already talking about all the time, but this would be a more organized structure.
Absolutely.
Okay. What about people who wanted to use podcasts just to make money off the podcast itself? Could they do that? Let's say if they don't actually have their own product or service, could they still make a podcast?
Oh, absolutely. And that's how someone I know, that's how he does it. The name of his podcast is Deserve What You Want.
Deserve What You Want, okay.
DeserveWhatYouWant.com. And he doesn't have a lot of products on his own, but he becomes an affiliate of different people's products and interviews them. So whether you have your own product or you want to promote someone else's, then those are a couple of really great ways for you to use a podcast. So you don't necessarily have to have your own in order to start podcasting.
So if you had a hobby or an interest and you wanted to make money from your podcast, you would find then other people who are selling products in that area, and you would interview them, and then you would get a commission from any sales?
Yes, exactly.
So you would have to have an affiliate program.
Yes, either yourself or you can join dozens and dozens of other ones that are online. ClickBank is one.
ClickBank?
ClickBank is an affiliate network that you can join, and you can find tons of really awesome products.
And can you spell that for the listeners?
ClickBank, ClickBank, and I believe it's ClickBank.com.
ClickBank.com.
Try.net. That's one. Commission Junction is another.
You know, I use Commission Junction all the time, and I still I get lots of checks from them, and I get checks, lots of checks from Amazon.com, and a lot of my clients, my web design clients, get lots of checks
there
from Amazon. One of my clients just got a $500 check last month.
Nice.
And
that's
then,
what I like to hear.
Pretty regular. Just for listing books that she's already been recommending in her business.
There you go.
And getting people to click on that link to buy it. So you could do that through podcasting. So how would they, if someone were to listen to your podcast and you had an affiliate link, sometimes those affiliate links are really long. How would you get someone to, when they go to these websites to buy something, how would, if you're speaking your link, how do you get them to actually click on the special link and not just go to the main website?
Right. You can use services such as tinyurl or snipurl.com. Both of them.
Tinyurl.com and snip, is that S-N-I-P?
Yes.
Url.com, okay.
You can use both those services to shorten your website address, your affiliate link, which will contain all those ugly letters and numbers.
So no one has to, like, read out a 40-character or 80-character URL with dashes and question marks and slashes and all of that good stuff in
that's
it.
That's right. So okay. That's one thing you can do. Another thing is you can register a domain name, preferably a domain name that will be the name of your podcast.
Okay.
And then you use something called an HTML redirect.
Okay.
And so I don't want to get really into the technical, but you can.
But there are ways. And they're in your book.
And they're in my book.
Everybody needs to check out that book. You know, I had a chance to download some of the free content that's on your website, and it's really, really good stuff. You know what? We're actually going to be going to our break in just a few minutes. But before we do, what was the name of your very first podcast?
Cubicle Divas.
Cubicle Divas. Now, you know, I like the word, anything with the word diva in it. But how did you, what was that one about?
I developed that because my business name at the time was Savia Lane, L-A-N-E, SaviaLane.com. And I always had a bit of problem saying the lane part. People couldn't quite hear what I was trying to say, Savia Lane, and they say everything else. So I thought, okay, let me brand my podcast differently. So I didn't want to call it Savia Lane Podcast. So instead I called it Cubicle Divas. And my aim was to help women who were working in the corporate environment find strategies to cope with their job, climb the corporate ladder, or to develop their own business.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you still do the podcast for Cubicle Diva?
I do not. I stopped at episode 19 and soon moved on to other podcasts. I still podcast today, but they are more paid podcasts. Mm-hmm. So if you sign up for one of my services, you get access to the paid premium content. So that's one way I make money.
Well, actually, Lisa, we've got to go to our break right now, but when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about how do you actually create a podcast and what do you need to do it. So when we come back from our break, we'll have more with Lisa Barnes.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. This is Jamila White in for Donna Maria, and I am interviewing Lisa Barnes, our podcasting expert. Right before we went to the break, we were starting to talk a little bit about the kinds of podcasts that you can do and ways that you can make money, but now we're going to talk about how do you actually create a podcast. You know, you mentioned, Lisa, that regular people can do it, and you could, if you don't want to do it, you can outsource it. How do you go about doing that? Is it expensive?
It's not expensive, and there's a lot of... I got started podcasting for under $100.
$100?
And that was for an audio podcast, and all I got was a headset with a microphone attached to it, and it plugs into my USB port, which is on the back of every computer, and then downloaded free recording and editing software called Audacity, A-U-D-A-C-I-T-Y. That's Audacity. And just plug that into Google because it's not audacity.com.
Oh, okay.
So plug that into Google. And so with those two pieces, I was able to start recording myself and recording a few segments, putting them together, and then publishing that as an MP3 file to add to my blog.
So with the $100 that you started with, where did the bulk of the money go? Did it go towards the microphone?
It went towards the microphone, yes. Because you can't just use any microphone with this. You need one that's microphone and headset combined so that you
okay.
can listen and mm-hmm. cancel out noises around you as you listen to the playback, but also have the microphone piece so that it records as if you stepped into a studio. And so that's the quality of recording that you want to hear.
And is this a microphone that you just kind of went into a local shop to get? For someone who's not a sound engineer, will any old microphone do as long as it's got the headset and the USB port? Or
yes, and the two models that many podcasters really sing the praises for is Logitech,
mm-hmm.
and Plantronics.
Plantronics. Great. So, okay, you've got your computer, you've got the free software, editing software called Audacity that you downloaded, and you've got your microphone.
Yes.
Was there anything else that you needed in order to create the podcast as far as equipment goes?
Well, no, not in terms of equipment, but you certainly need content. You definitely need content. And so when I started podcasting, I did 5 segments all on my own. So it was almost like a radio program where I started off with news of the day or news of the week, and I summarized some of the most interesting news stories that I found.
Now, did you have any broadcasting background before you did that, or you just said, I'm going to do it?
None. I just said, I'm going to do it because I need something a little bit more clever. And podcasting, I want to put this out there, that podcasting is going to really work for someone who gets a lot of compliments about how engaging they are in front of people.
Okay.
And so every time I do a speech, I always get a ton of feedback saying, you know, you're engaging, you're inspiring, all of this. And so I know that speaking is my gift. And so if someone always compliments you on your speaking style, or if they say you're animated, you're funny, you're interesting, then these are clues that podcasting will work for you and your business. Because it's not going to work for everyone. And some people say, you know, I don't like the sound of my voice, but that's not what I'm talking about. Or someone might say that, you know, I don't like the way I look on camera, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is using your gifts so that they come through in a medium that will help convince people to trust you and like you.
So you're really putting your personality and your passion into it. It's not
Absolutely.
Just reading some stuff from a script, but you're really bringing it to life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So keep that in mind. If you're better at writing, then stick with writing. Stick with the blog. Stick
with
articles.
Blogging. Mm-hmm. But if you can talk.
If you can talk and people tell you that when you talk, they listen,
mm-hmm.
then certainly that gives you a clue that podcasting is going to be really great for you.
Now, that's really good advice. Yeah, if you can't talk, stick to blogging.
Yeah.
But if people compliment you on your speaking, or you always have a lot to say and you're really interesting and engaging, then podcasting might work for you. What about
the difference between audio versus video. So would you recommend that someone just start basic with the audio podcasting first, or should they jump right into video? And if they did video, what would they need, and, you know, how much would that kind of stuff cost?
Yeah, I would strongly recommend that it's not an audio versus video aspect. It's more a sense of which one is going to lend better to the message you're trying to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
I find that audio works really well if you are going to rely on expert interviews to build your content.
Okay.
That model kind of sucks for video because no one wants to see two talking heads.
Right.
Video has to be a little bit more compelling. You have to do a lot more with a lot less time. For a video podcast to really work for your business, it cannot be longer than 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it's got to be entertaining. So if you've watched a lot of TV, you know that there's a lot of camera angles, there's a lot going on with a television show to make it interesting. And if you can't make your content interesting through a video podcast, then you're better going with an audio.
Okay.
Now, if you are thinking about video podcasting, you can get started for very cheap because the tools have gotten a little bit more sophisticated. There's one product that you must have to get if you're an amateur videographer.
And what is that?
It's called the Flip Camera.
The Flip Camera. I've heard of those, and Oprah was talking about those.
It is awesome. Awesome. It's the easiest thing. It records up to 60 minutes, and all you need to do is download the content to your computer. And if you're on a Mac, there are dozens of programs that already come on your Mac for you to edit the video files.
Now, back to the Flip Camera real quick.
Yeah.
Is that expensive? Is it a couple hundred bucks? Or?
Yeah, a couple hundred. I got mine at a Best Buy in Las Vegas for $149.
Oh, okay. So even less than $200.
That's
less than
right.
$150. Okay.
And the audio quality, it has a built-in microphone, so it captures the audio really well. The video quality is stellar. I was at a conference, National Association of Broadcasters, last week, and one of the guys who does video looked at my camera and said, "Wow, that little thing captured such a high-quality video." And I said, "Yeah."
So you can
get started with a video podcast using Flip Camera and then using software on a Mac or on your PC. There's something called Windows Movie Maker.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with most PCs already.
So you can just use your free software to edit the video from your cheap but good Flip video camera.
That's
okay.
Right.
Now, you know, for people who want to know what a video might look like, now, Donna Maria does some videos in her blog. I don't know if that constitutes video podcasting or not, but for people who want to see, like, she does product reviews and things like that, you can go to her blog at indiebusinessblog.com. So, okay, if you wanted to do the video podcast, You just need your Flip Camera or some other video camera and you're editing, and it's basically the same as if you're doing the audio except you've got the video there.
That's right.
What do you do once you've gotten your content recorded and edited, then what do you do with it?
Well, if it's sitting on your computer, then the only person that can see it is, well, yourself. So you have to put it somewhere where a lot of other people can access it.
But, yeah, how do you get the clip, the audio or video clip, into the podcast, or how do you get the podcast out?
Right. So we have to back up a bit, and first place we need to do is we need to upload our content to a server.
Okay. And so for everybody who's not a webmaster and or whose eyes are glazing over with upload a content to a server, what does that mean?
You need to find a spot where people can access your content. So I always like to use analogies to demonstrate this point. And let's just say you're having a party and you want people to come over.
Mm-hmm.
You can send out the invitations, and if it doesn't have an address on it, then nobody knows where to go to find it. So in essence, what you have to do is on those invitations, put an address so people know, oh, okay, I'm going to go to 123 Sugarcoat Lane to this party. That address is what people are looking for when they're looking for your content online. So if you're to go to YouTube right now, you wouldn't know how to find a particular video that I want to point you to unless I gave you the web address.
Right.
In order to get that web address, it has to be on a location, a server. And that's what the server does. It provides a location for people to find your video or audio content. So there are different services out there where you can upload video and audio content, and it's for a fee. It's not for free. It's for a fee. But there's certain companies that's all they do. They service podcasters.
Okay, so you would then be paying them a fee to host the video or audio content that you're uploading?
Absolutely. And one such service is called Libsyn, and that's Libsyn.
L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N.
.com.
Okay. And they do podcast hosting.
Yes. And the reason why you want to go with services like that is because they're in the business of helping you stream and host really big files. Your current web hosting provider, where your website is resides, may not be equivalent enough.
Okay.
Because they're not used to serving up big hunks.
Those big video and audio files. Right.
So you want to double check. I've heard of people who decided to upload their audio and video content to the same place where their website sits, and then were shocked when at the end of the month they got a bill for $1,000.
For the extra bandwidth charges.
That's right.
So that's great advice. Make sure if you're going to do podcasting and uploading lots of audio and video that you check first with your web host, if you're going to do it on your web host, to make sure that you don't get hit with that big bill. But so you would recommend actually going to a specialty host for that part of your website that's hosting your podcast.
Absolutely.
Like Libsyn. Okay.
Absolutely.
I think we got it here. So, okay, once you've got it, you know, up and posted and you've got your audio or your video there, how do you let people know? Earlier in the program you mentioned directories. What kinds of directories are involved, and do you have to pay for them? Like, what's involved with that?
Nice thing about the podcast directories is once you enter your information once about your podcast, you never have to do it again.
Okay.
Because there's a conversation that takes place that you do not need to be involved in, and that conversation takes place between your wherever you host your podcast and the podcast directories. But they have to know that they need to have that conversation in the first place.
So once you tell the directories that your podcast exists, do they automatically update every time you post a new file?
Exactly.
So you don't have to touch it. It's like set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it.
Okay.
And that's the beautiful thing about it. So once you tell those directories, once they keep updating themselves over and over, as long as you keep updating your podcast with new content. And so it's just like, think of podcasting more like a TV show. The TV show, you know, every week, every Thursday at 8 p.m., when it came on, Seinfeld would come on at that time. CSI Miami would come on Wednesdays at, Mondays at 10 p.m., and so forth. And so all you need to do is just find a regular point in time each week to upload your audio or video podcast, and then that information will go out to the podcast directories.
Okay, so if you're using your blog software to upload or to list your podcast, you can also, in most cases, depending on your blog software, set your blog time in advance. So even if you finished your podcast segment, you could put it on your blog and then tell your blog what time to make it available.
Yes, and that's why a blog is so effective at publishing podcasts, because if you're used to using a blog such as blogger.com or wordpress.com or typepad.com, if you know how to update a blog with text content, then all you need to do is just learn how to publish your audio or video content on your current blog, and then that is your first step towards podcasting.
Good info. Okay, we've got to go to break, but when we come back, we have more with Lisa Barnes and podcasting.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm Jamila White, your guest host, in for Don Maria, who is away taping a major interview on National Public Radio today. Our guest is Lisa Barnes. She's a podcasting expert, and she's going to give us some tips on, if you're going to podcast, you know, what are the things that you can do to make your podcast even better, and how will it, how to help it enhance your core business. How can you sell more stuff with a podcast?
Well, first of all, you need to have a title that is compelling.
Like Cubicle Diva. I love that title.
Yeah, Cubicle Divas is one. Marketing Secrets 101. I usually advise people not to choose the name of their company unless it's a well-known company, or the name of the person that's going to be hosting the series, unless it's a well-known name.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, come up with something that at first glance is going to attract the attention. It's like a book cover. Choose a title that's going to attract people's attention. And that way, that's the first step towards producing a podcast that will gain an audience. So definitely you want to have a compelling title. The next thing you want to do is have compelling content, but not just compelling content, but content that's relevant to a certain audience. And so in this case, if we take Marketing Secrets 101, the one thing you want to do is your episode title needs to show what solution that podcast is going to solve. Why is it going to be worth my time listening to you for 15, 20 minutes? You got to tell me.
And that, so you would need to first define your audience so that you know who it is that you're talking to.
And I usually tell people that instead of defining the audience, define the problem you're trying to solve.
Oh, okay.
Many people
That's
get
even better.
Yeah, it is better, because many people get so wrapped up around the demographics of their audience rather than saying, okay, because if I said that Cubicle Divas is meant for women between 25 and 50 who are working full-time careers,
then we'd all just yawn.
We'd all just yawn, yes.
And say, that's not me.
That's not me. And also, women between 25 and 50 who are working full-time have dozens of problems.
Right.
You know, childcare, even that time of the month, they're all problems. So what problem can I help them solve, and how can my podcast be that solution?
And then how can the name reflect this group of solutions or topic in a way that's really compelling?
Absolutely. And when you're relevant to an audience, then suddenly you see that traffic growing by leaps and bounds. And so that's really what you want to try to do, is come up with a compelling title, a title that's going to attract attention. But you also want to come up with content that is going to be relevant to a group of people.
So if you had a business and you sold, party invitations and party favors and wedding shower favors and things like that, then your podcast could be about wedding or event planning tips and stories from brides and bridezillas and all of that.
Yeah, and maybe that's how I'd term it. I'd call it, the Bridezilla Podcast.
Okay.
And I interview people that has worked with that bridezilla.
Right.
And then offer tips on how you can either help Bridezilla become the bride, the beautiful bride that she is, or offer tips on ways in which to sabotage the Bridezilla. I don't know what it could be. But in essence, what you want to look at is one aspect of that process and say to yourself, what one aspect can I focus on, and how can I offer those solutions to that problem?
Okay. So what are things then that you would not want to do when you're doing a podcast?
Well, the first thing you don't want to do is copy someone else's format. Just because someone else is doing a video podcast every day and it seems like it's successful doesn't mean that you need to copy their concept. And the very first thing the second thing I'd tell you to do is to check out who your competitors are. Many people have no idea what podcasts already exist.
How would someone find out?
Well, they go and download a program called iTunes.
Okay.
For those of you on Mac, it's already installed on your computers. For PC users, you'd have to go to apple.com/iTunes, and that's the letter I, Tunes, T-U-N-E-S. Go there.
And it's a free download, right?
A free download. You install the software on your computer, just like you do with any other software. Launch it, and then go to the podcast directory to start looking for podcasts. And then what you want to do is punch in keywords, career podcasts if you're a career coach, or beauty products if you are someone who is in that industry, to find out who else is podcasting related to your topic. And once you find that, check out what they're doing. If everyone else is doing an audio podcast every week, why not launch a video podcast instead? If everyone's podcast in that, if every career podcast you find is 20 minutes in length, why don't you do a quick 2-minute tip every day? Don't, there's no reason why you have to follow what everyone else is doing.
So podcasts can be really short.
Podcasts can be really short.
They don't have to be like 30 minutes or whatever. It could be 2 minutes.
Yeah, and there's one podcast out there called the 1-Minute Podcast.
The 1-Minute Podcast.
And in 1 minute, cool. They offer a new tip that you can learn on how to do something better.
Hmm. Okay, so what about some examples of small businesses who are being successful in using podcasting to grow their business?
Oh, there's tons. There's tons. There is there's a website called Stuff White People Like.
I just was on that blog the other day, and I forwarded
funny.
It to a bunch of people.
It's funny as hell. Stuff White People Like. I think it's stuffwhitepeoplelike.com.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And they've been blogging for about a year. I don't know if they've done any podcasts. I have to double check. They might have. But they've recently got a book deal as a result of...
As a result of having a blog?
Blog and podcast.
And podcast. Wow.
I think they might have done a podcast. That's a double check. But in any case, that's an example. If they don't have a podcast, never fear, because I do have an example of someone else who used a podcast to get a book deal, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
But some of you will say, well, Lisa, you're podcasting about podcasting, so of course you get a book deal on podcasting. But there are people who were podcasting about non-podcasting topics that got a book deal. One is Grammar Girl. Grammar Girl. I believe it's grammargirl.com. Every week she posts an audio tip on how to use words in the English language better.
And she got a book deal from that.
Not just that, she appeared on Oprah.
Oh, wow. Now that's like the granddaddy of all
people. I think once you do that, you can retire.
Yeah, if you get on Oprah, especially if you've got a book or product, you are set for life.
You are set. So she got on there. She appeared on Oprah, not because of podcasting, but because of her expertise that podcasting helped.
But podcasting was the vehicle, because without the podcast, no one would know that she was an expert on this stuff.
Absolutely.
And also they wouldn't know that she'd make a good show guest, because a podcast offers people a chance to know that you speak well.
Very good point.
And would make a good guest. Now, are there any small businesses that sell products that you know of that have really good podcasts?
Yeah, there's... a woman by the name of Heather Vale. She has a podcast called SuccessUnwrapped.com.
SuccessUnwrapped.com, okay.
Right, and she interviews success gurus and experts. Her audio content, what she does is she has them on the phone and she interviews them for as long as the interview will go. Sometimes it's an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
And what she decides to do is not only does she sign up as an affiliate with that particular guest and say, you know, go to their website for more and get a commission back. But what she does is she takes about a third of the interview and offers that for free through the podcast.
Okay.
So even though the interview might have been an hour, she says, you know, I'm not going to give away the hour because it's juicy. It's great. But instead she takes about the first 20 minutes and offers that for free and says to people that if you want to hear the entire interview, go to her website and sign up for a membership at $4.95 per month to hear the rest. And so she has a couple hundred subscribers at $4.95 per month.
Oh, wonderful.
Some of you might look at that and say, you know, I don't know. But, hey, I could, if that was on my income stream, it could be $200, it could be two. But at $200, $4.95 a month times 200, hey, I'll take that.
Exactly. And getting another 100 subscribers doesn't mean she has to do more work. So
there you go.
She does the same amount of work with 100 subscribers as she does for two subscribers. That's a pretty good deal.
That is a pretty good deal. There's another man by the name of Mike O'Loughlin, and he has a passion for Irish history, and he's written over 39 titles on the topic. Now, before he started his podcast called Irish Roots Cafe, Mike used direct mail to send postcards to people to promote his books. And so he was sharing with me in the interview that he only got a 1% response rate, which, of course, all of us who've done direct mailing know that that's probably the norm. So once he discovered podcasting, what he did is he replaced all his direct mail pieces, first of all. And in each episode, Mike talks about some aspect of Irish history and then points people to his books. He even pulled up an interview he did 20 years ago with a bunch of friends.
20 years ago?
Yeah, and it was recorded on tape, and he was able to digitize it and then make that one of his podcast episodes. 20 years ago!
Oh, wow.
So he's making a couple thousand dollars now, and he said he's making more money now using a podcast to promote his books than he was using the direct mail piece, and he's saving tons of money at the same time. It's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
Now, I had a question for you. For someone who's doing, like, videos in their podcast, how is that different than, say, just posting promotional videos on YouTube?
Very good question. YouTube doesn't, I think they recently did, but for a long time, YouTube didn't have a syndication option.
Okay, so syndication is what makes it different.
Yes, that's number one. I believe YouTube has now added syndication to their website. But, you see, YouTube takes away from the whole premise of what podcasting is about, where you can subscribe any place, anywhere, and get that content.
Okay.
For YouTube videos, I have to go to YouTube, go to one single website, to be able to subscribe. But on top of that, it's being I'm seeing so much competition from so many other different sources. Now, with the podcast directory, some of you would say, yeah, well, there's competition there, too. Agreed. But what makes the podcasting directory so unique is that once I go there and I subscribe, I don't have to ever go back to that podcast directory ever again.
Okay.
So I just subscribe.
Whereas YouTube, you kind of have to go and search for videos.
That's right.
Okay, so it's a little more proactive, and if you've got an iPod, you can even have the podcast you sign up for
get
sent directly to your iTunes so you can put it in your iPod.
That's right.
So for someone who's thinking about starting a podcast, they're listening to this show, and they're kind of intrigued, and they're thinking, you know, I could do this. What's the first thing that they should do? Where do they start?
Well, the first thing I'd advise people to do is if you're saying that, you know, podcasting sounds like exactly what I want to do, is to first go to iTunes, download it, and start listening to different podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense for you to start producing your own if you have no idea what people are doing.
Oh, that's the truth. You don't want to make a TV show if you don't own a TV.
Exactly. So I would advise that, you know, for the next month, take a look at, if you have a concept for your podcast, take a look at what's already out there, download iTunes, and start listening and subscribing. And that also does a second thing. It helps you to understand how easy it is to subscribe. Mm-hmm. What are some of your hang-ups and hiccups? So that once you publish your own, you can educate your audience that, oh, by the way, you're going to see this. Don't worry. Just click again, and then you'll get that.
Okay.
So it helps you to go through the ropes so that you can teach others how to do it easily.
So if you're thinking about a podcast, you definitely want to go to iTunes and start listening to podcasts. But even if you aren't thinking about creating one, you're probably missing out if you aren't listening to podcasts, because there's so much great information out there,
oh,
not just for businesses, but even, you know, personal funny stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we've got just a few minutes left in the show, and I did want to ask you, you know, if someone has more questions or they want more information about how do you actually create a podcast and how do you make money doing it, where do they go?
They should go to my website, lisabarnes.com. LeesaBarnes.com. There are two things that I'd like you to click on. One is freebies. And We all like freebies. So there you'll find a lot of freebies that I offer. And on the sidebar, you'll see the cover for my book where you can download two free chapters from Podcasting for Profit. Gives you a taste of what great content is there available for you once you buy the entire book.
Yeah, and I just want to recommend to everyone, go get the free two chapters. Go get them right now, because I got them, and it's really good stuff. You know, I'm online all the time. I listen to podcasts. But even at the two free chapters, I learn lots of stuff. So you can get it from Lisa Barnes' website. And if you don't have a pen handy and you're out on your iPod or somewhere listening to this, you can go to Donna Maria's IndieBusinessRadio.com website, click on the show archives, and click the link to get Lisa's book. Are there any other things that you want to tell us about podcasting?
I just want to leave you with a quote that I absolutely adore. It comes from a book, and I can't remember the book because it was a teacher. I actually thought it was a colleague of mine that created this quote, but it wasn't. And I forgot the name of the book, so if any of you remember, let me know. But it goes like this: be you because someone else is already taken. And the whole idea is that with podcasting, you can be yourself.
That's awesome.
So if you're quirky, if you're funny, then let that personality show through. If you're serious, then let that personality show through. There's no right or wrong here. Just be yourself, because that's what people are going to be attracted to, you and your personality.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. I've had a great time today guest hosting for Donna Maria. And our guest today was Lisa Barnes, podcasting expert and author of Podcasting for Profit. Thanks again to all you listeners out there. Donna Maria will be back next week with another great guest to help you make the most of your business. And as always, you can join the conversation at indiebusinessblog.com, where you can get Donna Maria's best tips and insights for indie business success. You can learn more about me, Jamila White, and get help with your e-commerce problems at my website, www.ecommercediva.com. And we'll see you there on indiebusinessblog.com and ecommercediva.com. In the meantime, on behalf of Donna Maria, this is Jamila White, the e-commerce diva, signing out. Enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.